About the train. The milling art and the finder's lodge worked together on track laying, repair, and maintenance. Under professional direction, young people who were not millers or finders often worked for a season or two on the line as an adventure. The leaders of these crews and the men and women whose chief work was driving the mule and oxen trains, or the engine, were notable, romantic, and dangerous characters. The train tracks used and maintained by the Keshe ran from Chesteb, a depot south of Clear Lake, over Amakulkan to Kastoha, down the valley past Telina and the great wineries south of it, then east through the northeast ranges to the port town of Sed on the inland sea coast in the territory of the Amaranth people, probably less than 80 miles in all. The track was a single line with short spurs to the lading warehouses and wineries, some 22 sidings along its length for passing or for holding cars, and turnaround loops for the engines at Kastoha and at Sed, and at Clear Lake by the town of Stoy, where there were connections to a north-running train line and to road haulage east. The rails were of oak, heavily treated against decay, termites, and rodents. They were laid on cross-connected redwood sleepers in a creek cobble roadbed. No metal was used in the rails, which were fastened in short sections by wood-pinned lock joints. The wood art, under yellow adobe auspices, provided these rails and was in charge of the ceremonial aspects of track laying and repair. No tunnels were built. In hard grades and canyons on Amakulkan and the northeast ranges, the looping switchbacks were innumerable. Trestle construction was massive, since it had to support a solid roadbed for animals hauling trains. The cars or wains ran on hooped oaken wheels, two pair on a swiveled truck at each end of the car. The couplings were braided, laminated leather, sometimes reinforced with chain. Good wains for heavy cargo were roofed boxcars. Those carrying wine were insulated, with clamps and mountings to anchor the casks. There was one roofed boxcar fitted out with bunks, window panels, and wood stove for people traveling by train, the height of luxury, according to the author of Trouble with the Cotton People. Other wains were roofless and of light construction. A flat car with socketed poles was common, the load lashed on under a canvas covering. No car was over 19 feet long. Axle width, standard since time immemorial on all roads in the region, was 2 feet 9 inches, the Keshe meter or yard, the hersh. The wains were so narrow that they somewhat resembled boats, which was what the Keshe called them. At the period this book is concerned with, two engines were used in the valley, one owned by the Keshe and the other by the Amaranth people. Both ran only between Kastoha and Sed. They were wood-burning steam engines of, my guess, about 15 to 20 horsepower. The Keshe engine was built, maintained, and operated by members of the miller's art in cooperation with other arts and lodges that used the train in their commerce with neighboring peoples. They called the engine the grasshopper for its high-angled pistons, its jointed look, and probably for its habit of starting with a flying leap. It was built of pegged and fitted wood and riveted sheet iron. Tubes were rolled up from the flat and seam-welded by hammering over a false core. The firebox and boiler sat up on little bolted legs well away from the carriage, and the high, narrow smokestack was topped with a complicated and unreliable spark baffle. The risk of forest fire in the dry grass and chaparral of the mountains was the main drawback to use of the engines. In dry years they were not run at all between the water dance and the beginning of the rains. At such times, and for short runs within the valley, for single wain hauls, and for all traffic north from Kastoha over the mountain, the trains were pulled by oxen or mules. The tracks and roadbeds served to make the hauling easier for those who did it. A signaling system was maintained during periods of frequent operation, that is, more than once every 9 or 10 days. Lineswomen and men operated the signals, and traveling crews kept up the wood and water supplies along the line. The signals were connected to the exchanges in Wakwaha, Sed, and other towns in the trade network, where schedules of runs and arrangements for shipments were made and posted.